Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the How We Scaled show. My name is Jeff Brandeis, president and founder of CEO of Brandeis Coaching and Brandeis Training Solutions. Each of our episodes will feature a CEO, VP of sales, or an entrepreneur that has scaled their business to six, seven, even eight figures. And on the show, we will ask questions to them about what they did that scaled their business, that grew their revenues, that made them what they are today. So you're ready to listen and learn? Stay tuned. One, two, and three. Here we go. Hello, listeners, and welcome back. This is Jeff Brandeis, and we appreciate you returning for another podcast of How We Scaled. Today, I bring you Dylan Butvin. Dylan is a consultant for companies and help them grow. So, Dylan, welcome to the podcast.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, my pleasure, Dylan. So tell us a little bit about what you've done with companies and what you can bring to our listeners.
Yeah, sure. So there's a couple of things I guess I can talk about here. So I've worked as a product manager in a couple of different companies, worked as a consultant for a couple of companies on their products, trying to help them scale, trying to help with customer acquisition, helping with customer journeys, helping with processes, putting them in place to enable growth. So I guess I can start. Should I start with Texas To Go, which is a company I worked for once upon a time?
Sure. You saw wherever you like.
All right. Sounds good. So yeah, I'll start with a company that I entered into, a small restaurant delivery service. So the goal of Texas To Go was to get into all the small markets in Texas before the big guys came in and ate them up. And big guys meaning like your Uber Eats, your DoorDash. So those are restaurant delivery services that I'm talking about. In Texas, there's a lot of small towns, 50,000 to even say 400,000 people. And they were underserved by all these larger competitors. So we decided if we went in and used this model in all these small places, got them on board, it would be difficult for the big guys to come in and try to take over those small markets. So we were hoping then they would just engulf us and in an acquisition, which would be great. So when I got to Texas To Go, they were growing to about one new market every year. Yeah, it was taking a while. It was all pretty much generated by the CEO, Rustin Hicks. Really did an incredible job of just bootstrapping everything and getting it all going, just kind of swinging from the hip. And he brought me in to implement processes so that we could scale in the same way across all different new markets. The first thing we did was increase the efficiency of our driver pipeline. So main KPI was how many deliveries can we do a day? So how many orders per day can we do? And in order to do that, we'd get into a market and then we'd get to a cap in drivers. Drivers would start falling off. There's like a very sweet spot of the amount of orders available and the amount of drivers you have on the road to make sure that you're always getting food to people in under an hour, which is what we aim for. So we started by working on that process of driver sign up. It took about a week whenever I first got there, and then we got it down to a little over one day, so 1 to 2 days to get drivers on the road. Got people more excited about driving. It led to people signing up and then actually driving instead of signing up. Then there's a whole process goes by, and then they don't want to drive anymore by the time they get all their gear and everything. So that helped us out a lot in our existing markets. Then we moved on to the new market velocity. So at the time, like I said, we're going to about one new market every month. We put in a process where we would go to a new market about a month before we were going to enter it. We'd go around and we'd talk to all the restaurants. That's how we'd find our low-hanging fruit of restaurants that would sign up with us as we entered into the market. Ideally, we wanted to get 10 plus restaurants whenever we entered into a market. So we'd go in, me, the CEO, and the sales guy, go in a month before, just go around, drop cards, kind of a warm hello. We're coming to your town. Some people had heard of restaurant delivery. In a lot of these small towns, people had no idea what we were talking about. Really had to teach the market in a lot of these places, which is something that I never want to do again, but it's definitely something that has to be done. So yeah, we'd go in a month before, we'd start dropping off all these things, and then we'd put out some Facebook, general Facebook advertising, not spend a whole lot of money, but just kind of get our name out in the market so some people could start hearing about us a little bit. And then we'd go back in 2 weeks before. We'd make sure that we signed up and closed at least 10 of these restaurants. And then while we were doing that, we'd start onboarding drivers who would be our first drivers. And then we'd be looking around for one of the drivers to be the head of the market and kind of the corraler of the drivers, somebody who was excited about driving. So implementing that, we ended up growing to one market every month. The speediest we did was 3 weeks. And we kind of just toyed with that process of how do we get enough orders whenever we first open up? How do we like make a big bang on that weekend? How can we streamline the process of signing up the restaurants and getting them all their gear and getting them all set up? And yeah, we were able to grow to, I guess we did 6 new markets in 6 months, all very successful. And yeah, unfortunately that ended up being the end of my tenure at Texas To Go. Toward the end of that growth cycle, we ran into an issue with employee contractor designation. A driver sued us, which happens to all the big guys. When you're a small guy, it's a lot more painful. So, at the end of that, I ended up leaving Texas To Go, and that's kind of how we grew Texas To Go. They decided from then they would just batten down the hatches where they were, just pumped marketing into all the markets we had gotten into and kind of grew them to a good place where they could defend from the large guys going in. And in the end, they ended up kind of an acquisition partnership with delivery.com is where they are now. So it ended up working out.
Gotcha. So when you look at the companies that you worked with and you our listeners who are starting businesses, you know, what would you advise them to do from a scaling growth perspective to focus on?
So for starting a business, I would advise them to not try to scale or grow. I think there's definitely, and I can go into this whenever I go into Zvuk, they brought me on at first as the head of growth. And after getting in and kind of looking through the business and seeing where we were, realized very quickly, we do not need a head of growth. Still trying to figure out your product, still trying to figure out how to deliver a good product and have successful outcomes. I would say if you're just starting a business, go talk to people, go sell. You're all sales. All you're doing is trying to learn what people really need in the market, doing customer development to figure out who your actual customer is. I worked for a company called The Second Act, which was bringing retirees back into the workforce as either low paid or volunteer employees for startups who needed expertise but couldn't pay for it. And what we found was there's tons of different types of retirees. And we found that out by going out to golf courses and malls where we could find people that we thought were retired, just walking up to them, starting conversation. Came to find out everyone who was newly retired, so, you know, 1 to 5 years retired, no thank you, not interested at all, right? 5 to 10 years, you had a couple people, but then 10 plus years, we found that people started getting bored and they wanted to come back in and try something like The Second Act. So developing your customer profile, figuring out who you're really going after, really allows you to develop your product for the market that you're looking for.
I think that's really sound advice, because I think a lot of times when entrepreneurs start their business, or, you know, maybe they've grown to a certain level and then they lose focus and they don't go back to basics. And then they begin to chase what I'll call the new shiny star, and they leave their core. So I think, you know, when you're right. I think instead of worrying about scaling all the time, it's really about growth. And it's sometimes it's slow, steady growth, but it's really what's going to get you to scale.
Yeah, definitely. I also think it's hard because the entrepreneurial mind is one that sees the future of this billion-dollar business, right? And you forget there's a lot of steps to this billion and a lot of years. Definitely a lot of businesses I go into, they're like, in 2 years, we're going to be profitable and killing it and yada, yada. And I always tell them, no, five plus before you like even are in the market, really, is what I've come to find.
So what did you do from a, in your past, I got you into what you're doing today? What prepared you for, you know, being your product manager, your growth guy that you are today?
Yeah. Great question. So I have a very varied background. I began in oil and gas engineering. So I have a technical, what was that?
That's interesting.
Yeah. I grew up in Midland, Texas. So middle of nowhere, all that's out there is oil and high school football. So those are the two industries you can go into. So I started out in oil and gas and realized while I was working out on rigs in the Gulf of Mexico that I didn't want to lose my fingers or get blown up or be working in any of that. So I studied a lot. Really, I just read every book I could get my hand on. And whenever I left there, I just tried to get a startup off the ground. It was called Alive Legacy. So it was trying to make the cemetery industry a little more interactive. So the pitch that my partner made was, you know how you go to a cemetery and there's nothing to do? And I was like, I kind of get where you're going, but I think you're gonna have to work on that pitch a little bit. You know, that's not so compelling. So I tried to get into that, found out very quickly. I just had no idea what made a business run or what, you know, this book knowledge really didn't give me anything to get anywhere. So I went and worked. I did a $10 customer service job at a shipping logistics startup just to kind of get my foot in the door, kind of understand what people were doing, how everything worked, which was abrupt going from an engineer's salary to $10 an hour. But honestly, I learned so much doing that and getting my hands dirty, working with customers. The hardest job I've ever had. I only worked there 6 months. And it's by far the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Customer service, I suggest it short term. So I ended up deciding, you know what, I can go become a developer. I like this startup atmosphere, but I'd like to make a little bit more money. So I went and did a JavaScript coding bootcamp called Hack Reactor. Learned the ins and outs of how coding and development work. And then while doing that, I realized I don't want to be a developer for the rest of my life. So that kind of led me into this product operations role at Texas To Go, where I knew this guy. He was looking to grow his business. I knew a couple things about tech. I knew some things about operations. I knew some things about customers. And that was really where I got to put everything together and understand how business worked. Ended up doing sales and business development there as well. So that really let me cut my teeth on everything there was to know about running and growing a business. From there, I did some product consulting work. And then I decided I wanted to move to New York and become a product manager full time. And that's where I got into Zvook. So I moved up right before the pandemic, of course. And times got hard. And I said, I need a job immediately. And luckily, Zvook brought me in. And learned a lot of great things at Zvook as well.
Awesome. Is there a particular service or industry or niche you prefer to work with?
Yeah. So I'm actually going to make a move into the Web3 crypto space now. I don't know. FinTech is interesting to me, but the way that decentralized architectures are coming about, I didn't believe in any of it, you know, whenever I started reading the news. But the more I dug in and realized that decentralized businesses and blockchain-based businesses can really replace every process-based business out there with a more cost-efficient and hopefully incentive-aligned business model. I said, oh man, that's the future. I think it's the time to to jump and get in now because definitely still at the very beginning of all that. So now I'm looking to make a move into any kind of Web3 based business just to get close to the technology and work in that realm.
Yeah, that sounds like a great area. We know crypto is kind of an up and coming arena at this point. So maybe it's something for the ground floor to grow the business.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope to go in and be able to, help bring some expertise in getting the right customers, figuring out customer journeys for this. This is another realm of where you need to teach the customer. One thing we did at Zvuk that was interesting was we developed a way to bypass the learning process if you wanted to. So when people came to our site at Zvuk, what Zvuk does is we find brands and then we put them in niche podcasts to advertise to their target markets. We realized that people just didn't comprehend that you could just go online and buy a podcast ad, right? So there's kind of two different ways of thought. And then one of the journeys that we gave customers was the ability to kind of go into this TurboTax-like situation where all they needed to know was about their customers, didn't need to know anything about podcast advertising. And then we could spit out for them the podcasts that they should be advertising on with the rates, with listenership, everything that they could want or need. And we didn't have to go through the pains of teaching them exactly how everything worked.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a great program. So,
yeah.
So Dylan, it's been really a pleasure having you on How We Scale. If our listeners wanted to find you or contact you, what would be the best way for them to reach out?
Oh, that's a good question. Always available on LinkedIn. Please connect. I'm always happy to have a 15-minute call, 30-minute call. Definitely happy to talk to people. My name is spelled D-I-L-L-O-N-B-U-T, V as in Victor, I, N as in Nancy, Dylan Butvin. So I guess it'll be in the show notes, I'm sure too. That's probably the best way to find me. You can find me on Instagram at GitBizzy, GitBizzy. And those are probably the two best ways.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on How We Scale, Dylan. Truly appreciate it. Listeners, thank you for listening in again. And stay tuned for another episode of How We Scale coming along very soon. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much for joining. I truly hope everyone enjoyed the podcast here and our special guest. I know each of you are really excited to possibly even be a guest on our podcast. So feel free to fill out the application form that's below. We'll follow back up with you, be in touch with you, and it'd be great to have you. In addition, I know I'll be reaching out to you to see how we might be able to even do some business and have a conversation about working together. Again, thank you so much for joining our podcast. And if you do know of someone else that actually would like to be on the podcast, feel free to recommend him or her to also fill out the application below. Again, thank you so much for joining. Have a great day and see you next week on How We Scale.